children's choir starting to sing once a month during the school year. I know the kids hate going back to school, but we enjoy hearing them sing once a month. So I'm thankful for that. Thankful that the youth had the chance to sing last week, and looking forward to them singing also again in the future. During the month of October, we'll be having our teen night too, so you can put that on your prayer list also. Philippians chapter number 4 this evening. As I mentioned this morning at the end of the service, that if you're in one of the adult Sunday school class, except for the widow ladies class, or if you're in a senior high class, they're going through a Sunday school class. The girls or the guys are all going through a series called Building Below the Baseline, or Build Below the Baseline. And it's talking about working on the areas that only God sees, the things that only you and God know about, and taking care of those things and building on the foundation. Because if the foundation isn't strong, the building is not secure. We know that there is storms that happen in our life and struggles that happen in our lives. And many times when the storms happen, you're going to see the houses or the homes that do not have a right type of foundation, they are more susceptible to the storms. And the whole idea of the series is to work on those things that only you and God see. And some of the things that we've talked about is trust and developing that relationship of God and being filled with the Holy Spirit of God and kindness maybe, and also talking about forgiveness, a lot of different things, contentment, things like that. And there is one lesson or one message that is not in the book that I think is appropriate and that's good, something the Lord laid upon my heart while we've been teaching through. And I was just going to teach it in a Sunday morning class on my Sunday school, but we kind of ran out of time before the Bible conference, but also something that I like to share with those that are also part of the series and also for everyone that's here tonight. It's right thoughts below the baseline. Right thoughts below the baseline. One of the greatest challenges in anyone, probably everyone's mind, is having the right type of thought life and building below the baseline. This, once again, this is one of the things. Microphones bother me. There we go. This is one of the things that no one else sees. No one else knows what you think about. No one else can see what your thought pattern is. But the Bible says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So the Bible says what we think about is important, because what we think about in our heart, that is what we're going to become, or that is what we are. And when we think about the book of Philippians, we're looking at an epistle that was written by the Apostle Paul while in prison. I think it was a number of years ago. We went through the book of Philippians. We called it the joy epistle because of that famous verse found in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4, where the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Now, at the end of verse number 8, there is a saying. It says, think on these things. God tells us there are certain things we're supposed to think about. God tells us there are certain things we should meditate on. I tell you, we live in a world where people think about so many different and odd things. Some people think about pessimistic type things. Some people think about despair. Some people think about discouraging things. Some people think about critical things. Some people have depressing thoughts. And we're not only told to rejoice in verse number 4 here. We're actually told on the things that we're supposed to think about. And below the baseline, these are the thoughts that we're supposed to be building upon, things that are pure and things that are holy. So tonight I'd like to preach a sermon, Right Thoughts Below the Baseline, and hopefully we'll be encouraged if there's something in our lives that need to change, because it is a battleground, it is a war state inside of our minds to have a pure thought life, one that is rejoicing, one that is free of worry, free of anxiousness, free of stress. Things like that is something that the Bible desires for us to have. Let's go ahead and read Philippians chapter number 4. Let's look at verses 4 through 8 as we talk about this thought, right thoughts below the baseline. Verse number 4, the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand." Isn't that wonderful? The Lord is there. Verse number 6, be careful. And this word, if you even gives a further description, anxious, and the idea there, be careful. Don't be anxious. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, it says everything, my prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Ask for the Lord's help today. Lord, I'm thankful for tonight. Thankful for your word. Thankful for the fact that you even talk about these things that are below the baseline. You encourage us with these things. These are things we need to work on. Lord, just because the rest of the world may not see it, Lord, sometimes we forget about it and we just think we're okay, we can handle everything, that these are not important issues. But Lord, as you told us in your word, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Lord, that even though we might not be able to see these things now, that it's going to come out sooner or later. And when the storms of life come our way, when spiritual battles and fronts come, Lord, it's going to show who has built below the baseline, who has a strong foundation built upon Jesus Christ, and those who have not taken the time in their private life and in their private sector and reading their Bible and praying, desiring to have the right type of thoughts, desiring to be a forgiving person and not letting bitterness in their heart, desiring to be contented, desiring to be someone that is going to trust in you with their lives, someone who's going to be spirit-filled, someone who's going to deny the flesh. Lord, these are all things we need to work on. And Lord, as we focus on this idea of having right thoughts, I pray that it not just be a message people hear and leave, but look deep into their own hearts and say, is this something I need to work on? Is there a thought pattern that I have that I need to adjust, that I need to switch around, that I maybe need to look at things differently? And Lord, that you send the Holy Spirit of God to convict their hearts as we read your word and see what your word has applied to our own lives. And Lord, it makes a difference tonight in at least one, if not many people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what? There's all type of thoughts that we have. And like I said, because they are private, because they're below the baseline, because only us and God sees them, many times we ponder them. We think about them. We don't think that they're hurting us. There's thoughts of discouragement, thoughts about quitting. There's times when you comes up to where some of these thoughts are scary. I would think of this verse, and I've thought of this verse often, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I know that there's been times in my life when I've let my thought life go the wrong way, the wrong direction. I'm thinking, that's not the person I want to be. If that's the way I am in the most inward parts, in the most secret parts of my life, there's something I need to fix. And that's why it's important that we work on this. I've mentioned this before. You sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a destiny. But it all begins with that thought. And we're bombarded daily. You think about all the different things we're bombarded with. We're bombarded with the news media. We're bombarded with maybe ungodly friends or people that we're around. We're bombarded with so much. But sooner or later, if we're not careful, if we don't work hard in that private sector of our life, building below the baseline, sooner or later it's going to come out of our mouth. It's going to come out of our life unless we live a disciplined thought life. So many times we think things and we think, oh, it's never going to matter, but sooner or later it's just going to slip out. What we think about constantly will determine what we do. What we think about constantly will determine what we do. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, if you think about constantly, one of your thoughts is, I want to be a better husband or a better wife. And that's what you think about and is on your mind. You put it in the forefront of your mind. You become disciplined about thinking about that. Guess what? Sooner or later it's going to come out. You think about if I want to see people saved, and this is what's constant on my mind, this is what's constantly on my heart, you're going to see the opportunities when you're there to go and present the gospel. You're going to see the opportunities when you can give a tract. You're going to see the opportunities when you can invite someone to church. You think about it, if you think about constantly how to be a blessing to someone, and you're going to see opportunities. They're all around. There's plenty of places that you can see that, you know what, you can be a blessing by helping someone. You can be a blessing by God will open up plenty of opportunities. It's what we think about constantly is what we become. I've noticed in my own heart, in my own life, that if there's something that I begin to desire or begin to want, I start trying to figure out how to get it and different things. And sometimes it can consume our minds and consume our thoughts. And sooner or later, we're going to make it happen because it's what's really valuable to us. It's what really is important to us. And that's why we must not let the wrong things consume our hearts and consume our minds. I think about young people when they begin dating what they might consider the right person. And, you know, sometimes they let a young person consume their hearts and consume their minds so much that it doesn't matter what that young person doesn't do or does do. It's contrary to what the Bible says. It's come part of their heart, and that it's so hard to break that attachment when it needs to be broken sometimes. Why is that? Because it's what's on their mind. And I'm wondering what's on our minds tonight. And God gives us some instruction here about how to think properly below the baseline. Let's look at three different things tonight. Underneath each of the 3 points, we have some sub-points. The first thing is positive thoughts below the baseline. Positive thoughts below the baseline. Look what it says in verse number 4 and 5. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, I want you to understand something. I'm not trying to be one of these television preachers that get up there and tell you that, you know, to have positive thinking. I'm telling you to have biblical thinking. I'm not somebody out there who'll tell you, rejoice all the time, rejoice all the time. The Bible says rejoice in the Lord here. It says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We always have something to rejoice in the person of Jesus Christ. We may not have things to rejoice in when it comes to our circumstances sometimes. And this word rejoice means to be glad. We always have something we can be glad in the person of Jesus Christ. We are saved. We have a home in heaven. There is something here that we can rejoice in. There is something that we can be positive. No matter what happens in this world, if we will build upon this structure, I can have joy in my life because of what Jesus Christ has done for me, because what Jesus Christ is going to do for me someday. I can rejoice in the Lord. I can be glad in the Lord no matter what happens in this world because of what he's done for me. It doesn't say rejoice in our feelings. It doesn't. It doesn't say, you know what, be glad in your feelings. You know what? Because your feelings sometimes are going to be deceitful. Sometimes the Bible talks about the heart being desperately wicked, and our feelings will change based off our circumstances. But joy is an unchanging response when we focus on the joy found that we can find in Jesus Christ. I think about the pilgrims. I like history. I'm not as smart about history as I used to think I was. And sometimes my sons will come up to me and say, hey, Dad, did you know this? You know, and you know, you don't want to look dumb in front of your kids, but you also don't want to lie. So I can say, I'm kind of busy right now. Then I'll go look it up. So, and I'll listen to them. Are you sure about that? You need to go reread that. And so I'm on the internet looking to make sure it's the right thing. Yeah, I just read about that. So, but it's the truth of the matter. The pilgrims, you know, 48 out of the 102 original died. But you know what? They still decided, we're going to stop and give thanks to God. They still said, it's time to give thanks to the Lord. And it's important to understand that we are really, there's a little saying that was out there many years ago, too blessed to be stressed. And too blessed to be, we're not rejoicing in these feelings. We're instead rejoicing in Jesus Christ. And that's what he's talking about here. He wants us to have positive thoughts. He wants us to rejoice in Christ personally. He tells us it's in his word. This is Paul here. He's sitting in the jail cell. He's talking to this church. And this is a good church. This is a church that is sending to his need again. This is a mission-minded church. And we see a lot of good things written about this church. And it even talks about it. It's one of the crown jewels in the sense of the church that stands out there. He says, okay, this is what we want you to do. We want you to have positive thoughts. We want you to rejoice in Christ personally. This is something that we need you to rejoice in. Him. It's God. It's Jesus Christ. It's the things we can be excited about, things we can be glad about. Unfortunately, today we live in, there's a lot of people that aren't very thankful, that don't rejoice in the person of Jesus Christ, forget what God's done for them. I think the mission trips are nice, and I think they're wonderful when young and old alike can go over to a country where people are excited, kids are excited to even get one piece of candy. We just got a letter from the heads, the headlines they call it, the mission letter, and she showed a picture of the kids holding up coloring pages, and they all had these big smiles. And I don't know if they're underprivileged kids, I don't know how much they have or don't have in Brazil, things like that, but they all had these great big smiles. And you know, it seems like in the world that we live in today, so many young people, just if things don't go their way, they just start having problems. If they don't get the type of shoes they want, or if they don't get a car they want, or if they don't get the clothing that they want, if we try asking a young person to put their cell phone away, it's like they get all about bent out of shape. They're feathers get all ruffled, whatever that word is. But it's like this idea that just something little and simple, you know, do they even need the cell phone? But he said, can you put that away? I'd like to talk to you. It's like asking them to move the whole world. But it's sad. We pick on the young people, but it happens a lot with the adults too. When things do not go their ways, when things don't happen the way that they want, they're, you know what? Same things happen. Thanks should have nothing to do with our circumstances and our possessions, and everything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in our feelings. It's in Him, and it's in His character. And so many times we miss this. God says, I want you to rejoice. I want you to be glad. Now, I want you to rejoice in me personally. Sometimes we hear songs, and you know we talked about the theme there, what a friend we have in Jesus, and we learn about some of the different characteristics about God, and we learn about some of the different doctrines about God, and we sing about those things because we want to be reminded, because this is what we want on our hearts, this is what we want on our thoughts. We're bombarded by the world with all the negativity and all the hurt feelings and all the problems, and when people don't get their ways, and when bad things happen and bad things come across our path, we just turn around, and instead of being rejoicing, instead of being thankful, like the Bible tells us, instead of being happy and demonstrating the love of Christ to others, God says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to rejoice in me personally. Second thing, he says, I want you to rejoice in me peacefully. Rejoicing in the Lord peaceably. Look what it says in verse number 5. Let your moderation. Now, what's this word moderation means? It's a calmness of mind. It's a personal peace, in a sense. One commentator put it this way, a sweet reasonableness. He says, let your moderation, your calmness of mind, let your moderation be known unto men. The Lord is at hand. God gives us a sweet reasonableness. He gives us the ability to be kind, to be forgiving, to be gentle, to be tenderhearted in a very, very tough situation. Paul is telling him this. Paul is sitting in a prison cell writing this and saying to them, look, let your calmness of mind, let your sweetness of spirit be demonstrated, be known unto all men. So many today are involved in hate speech. So many today are involved in, say, we need to be tolerant. We need to be all these things. But then you go on the internet and you see some really mean people out there. There's some really mean bloggers out there. There's some many mean people on talk shows. And even amongst Christians, you don't see very much calmness of mind. But Paul is saying, look, I want you to learn to teach people to rejoice in me, rejoice in the Lord, but also rejoice and then personally, but also peacefully. I know we see a lot of riots go on, and I don't try to get in a lot when it comes to politics, but it's not a political issue when you see people rioting, people breaking the law, and there is not much peace, there's not much calmness, there's problems in the world, there's so much hate speech in the world, there's so many issues and problems. This is not the way a Christian is supposed to act. Many times you see people that are so-called preachers that are igniting in these different things that is just not what the scripture says, but God is saying here through the apostle Paul, look, I want you to rejoice in me personally, but I want you to do it peacefully. You say, Pastor, how can you apply that to my heart? Well, you think about it. It's when we realize the Lord is at hand, we can allow God to do his work. Hey, what are you getting at, Pastor? Well, you think about it. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. If we're not careful, you know what we're going to do? We're not going to be still when things don't go our way. We're not going to let people see the calmness of our mind, the calmness of our heart, our sweet reasonableness that is supposed to be displayed and known of all men. Instead, what people are going to see is our anger, our frustration, our complaining. And we got to be careful because when things don't go our way sometimes, you know what we start doing? We start blabbing off at the mouth. We get on the phone and say, I don't know about this. I don't know. What do you? And we start and talking and talking and talking. He said, well, yeah, I know women do that. Men do that too. And we need to be careful here. That's what the Bible's saying here. Let your moderation be known, your calmness of heart. That's what you're supposed to be known for. The Bible says in Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. 2 Corinthians 12:9 put it this way. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in his infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul was saying, if you are God and you're allowing me to go through these infirmities, Paul three different times says, take away this burden, take away this thorn. He says, no, my grace is sufficient. Paul says, okay, if your grace is going to be sufficient, I am willing to go through this trial. I am willing to go through this hardship. worship. I'm willing to see myself through this because I know you're going to do something in this. I know that you're in this. And so because of that, I can rejoice in you personally, but I can rejoice in you peacefully because I know that you're in control and I know that God is going to take care of things. Did you know that God can handle the problems of your life? That's why he says, let your moderation be made known unto all men. Did you know God can take care of your husband better than you can? God can take care of your wife better than you can. God can take care of the pastor, the song leader, the boss at your job, whatever it is, better than you can. And what the Bible is saying here is let your moderation, let the calmness of your heart and your spirit that God is in control, be still and know that I am God and let God take care of the issues. I don't think it's... I think sometimes we get all restless and worked up about things, which is the opposite of moderation. And we start complaining. We start this and we start that. So often we become restless in the stress that happens. And you go back to our story about the baseline and building below the baseline. Sometimes when an earthquake happens and you see some buildings are standing strong, other buildings have been torn apart, and they go and they do some different, why is this one standing strong and why is this one falling apart? It's because there was some stress factors that were inside the baseline or underneath in the foundation that would have never been known until the storm started happening, until the world started shaking, that they showed the problems that were happening. And many times in a Christian life, when things look like everything's going well and things look like everything is great and fine and everything looks perfect, but when there's a storm that happens, boom, their life falls apart because there's a problem below the baseline. There's a stress factor. You can't see it until something happens. And this is where you come and say, well, Pastor, how can I be at peace? You don't know my situation. You know what the problem is. Well, look what it says at the end. The Lord is at hand. Be still and know that I am God. And he's saying, look, the Lord is there with you. He has promised you he's never going to leave you. He's promised you that he's never going to forsake you. He's promised you that he is going to go through the fire with you. And don't get me wrong, I'm a fixer. I like to fix things. When I see things that are broken, I like to fix it. When I see relationships that are hindered, when I see young people going the wrong way, when I see church members that get frustrated and upset, I want to fix the problem. But there's some things in this life that I cannot fix. And there's sometimes in my life I need to stop and stand still and live peacefully, believing that God is at hand, the Lord is at hand, he is seeing everything that's going through, and I cannot fix it, and you can't fix it either. Only the Lord can. But we can have what it says here. We can let our moderation show. We don't have to let the stress come in. We don't have to let the worry come in. And when people encourage you with things like, the Lord will take care of it. Why don't you let the Lord take care of that problem? We get upset. I know I do. Sometimes when all these things are happening, I'm talking to maybe another preacher friend, and this has happened and this has happened. I don't know what I do. I don't use people's name. I don't gossip. These people will never even meet you. But I'm thinking, I'm having this problem in the church, looking for some advice, looking for some counsel. God will take care of it. I didn't want to hear that. I wanted, fix it step one, step two, step three, everything will be fine. No. Sometimes the answer is God will take care of it. And when they say that, I don't want to hear that. I want to say, let's go burn out, let's go get them right. Let's go have intervention. No. The Lord is at hand. Be still and know that I am God. And sometimes in our lives, we're going to be following around and we're going to want to fix things so much and our hearts are going to be going so much that we're not going to be known for our moderation. We're going to be known for our bad attitudes. We're going to be known for our complaining. We're going to be known for these different things. But that's not what the Bible says we want to be known for. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Let the whole world know that you believe the Lord is at hand and the Lord can take care of these things. Another thought, it hurts their testimony sometimes too. If I'm going to be a person who is complaining and negative and not letting my moderation, how am I going to be a blessing and help to those when they do have a need? They're not going to come talk to me. So let your moderation know the Lord is at hand. Not only is it, first of all, is it positive thoughts, it's also prayerful thoughts. Let's look at here, next verse here. It says, be careful for nothing. As I mentioned, you can use this word in the idea of anxious for nothing. You mean, should it say anxious? No, it says careful. That's what it's supposed to say. It's the Bible. It's the inspired word of God. It's not a mistake, but it just helps us understand the definition there. Anxious. Be careful for nothing. but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We can be careful, it says, for nothing. Now, you take that word careful, you turn it around, what does it say? Full of care. And many times that's what we are. Instead of being careful for nothing, we let anxiousness and stress rob us. And we can be confident in prayer. We become so anxious that we get involved in so many things that we don't become involved in anything worthwhile. But the Bible says, be careful for nothing. Let's be confident in our prayer. And you know, look, it says, in everything. Everything. That means just every part of our life, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. I tell you that we get involved with so many different things in our lives that sometimes we mess up because we're so far involved with everything that we think that we're in control. And the problem is we have this illusion that we're the one in control, and it's like those guys that spin those things and they hold the dishes and, you know, they're doing all the different things and can do. It's like they think they're in control of all those things. And maybe they are at that moment. But when we have ministries that we do for God, we're not the ones in control. God's the one that's in control. And that's why we says here, be careful for nothing. That means that we shouldn't be anxious, worried, or stressed for anything, because in everything, not just some things, in everything, we're going to give that over to God. We try to juggle so much that we worry about dropping something. We worry about everything that's going to happen. You know, where's God in it? Remember, be still and know that I am God. Be careful. Let your moderation be known among men that the Lord is at hand. And so in this story, in the message, you know, we got to get to this spot where we realize that God's the one in control. Psalm 56:3 says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. It's that we are going to get afraid at times. There are times when we're going to have problems. There are times when our mental states are going to come to a spot where, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this? We worry and we restless and we get anxious and we, sometimes people have to pop pills to fix that. But the Bible would say if we would just take these things before the Lord and we're not careful about these things and we let the state be, look, I know there's times when I'm going to be afraid. And I'm thankful that the psalmist wrote that. What time I am afraid, it helps and shows us that there are times when we're going to be fearful. There might be people in the world that says, I'm not afraid of anything. Well, I tell you, there's a day and time coming when there's something out of your control and you just got to say, I'm just going to be still and know that the Lord is God. And there's going to be times I'm going to say, the Lord is at hand. He's going to have to take care of it. There's times in our lives when maybe our children get sick and a doctor doesn't know what it is and we're concerned and we're worried and we're like, Lord, please help me. Or because times in our life when relationships go the wrong way and people say things like, we don't love you anymore. Or people say, we don't want to help you anymore. Things that we're dependent upon. There are things that we will care about. There's things that we will be hurting about. There's things that we could be stressful for. There are things that we could worry about. And that's what God says. Be careful for nothing. Let me take care of that. Now, this is what you're supposed to do with it. It says it right here. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Pray to God. There's a story told about a Dallas Theological Seminary. It's where Harry Ironside was a part of starting it. They were in critical need of $10,000. And during a prayer meeting, the Bible teacher at the school, Harry Ironside, said he prayed a prayer similar to this. Lord, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Will you please sell some of those cattle to help meet the need? Shortly after that, the prayer meeting, after that, a few days later, there was a check for $10,000 that came in. And it actually was from a cattle ranch. And the bookkeeper said, hey, look, God sold some of that cattle. And they said the Lord had spoken to that person's heart. They had no idea what the prayer was about. You know what? The Lord is at hand. And it's hard to believe like this. And our thought life is something we have to build below the baseline, something we have to work on, because if we don't work on it, sooner or later, when the storms come, when the hardships come, our worlds will get shaken and people's lives will just fall right apart if we will not learn to take things to the Lord in prayer. Also, you see the constancy of prayer. Look what it says in verse number six. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. This says everything. This means that every area of our life, God wants us constantly to bring his prayers to him, give our burdens over to him. And once again, we want to hang on to certain things. We think we can hangle. It's okay. I got this, God. I got this, God. God, I want you to take care of the money. I want you to take care of the sicknesses. God says, look, I want you to bring everything. Because when you can learn that I'm the one that's taking care of these little things, when you come across the big time and the big things, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to fall. The building's not going to fall because you've built the foundation. So many people's lives, we say that we're fine and that we can handle it. But when the shaking starts, everything falls apart because there is something wrong in the foundation. Now look at the content of the prayer quickly. It says here in verse number 6, it says everything by prayer, which means we're asking God, and continue on supplication, once again talking about the things that we're asking, with thanksgiving, the praise that's involved, let your request. So these are things that we are supposed to be praying for. People say, well, I don't like to use my prayer time as a request time. You know what? God says we should bring a request. God says we should cast our cares upon him. God says we should mention our needs, because when we mention our needs, then we realize that God is the one that's going to be in control, and we need his help and we need his encouragement. And it keeps on going a little bit farther here. And it goes in verse number 6, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And look at verse number 7. I want you to see the conquering of prayer and the peace of God. And he said, a peace of God. Now, we made peace with God when we became Christians. We were at enmity with God, but we made peace with God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want that. I don't know about you, but that's something I desire. And there's dark times and hard times. Sometimes when ministry things happen and the burdens of this life come in, and I desire the peace of God. How do I get the peace of God? Is when I learn to rejoice in him personally. I learn to rejoice in him peacefully, believing he is at hand. Is when I take everything to God. I don't worry about it. I don't stress about it. Instead, I give it over to the Lord and leave it at his feet and continually go to him. It's not like I forget about it. It's something that I constantly, it says, bringing everything, letting our requests. And then God says he'll give us peace. And it says, in the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, now listen, shall keep. This word keep is a military term. It's talking about keeping something safe, your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. It means that if we will do this and we'll give those things over to the Lord and we won't be stressful and we'll have the ability to praise him personally and praise him peacefully, and we'll have the ability to be prayerful in our thoughts and bring everything to God, he says he will keep our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. That's what I want. I want him to keep. I want my heart to be safe. I want my mind to be safe. The Bible says that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. If we will learn to build below the baseline and have the right thoughts and learn to praise him personally, no matter what's going on, learn him to have the peace of God in our lives, even though the struggles are happening and the problems are happening, learning to carry all my cares to God, then God says, I will keep your heart and mind. You're not going to be able to keep yourself sane. Doctors try to give you medicine to try to help you feel better and try to keep you with not be so anxious, not be so nervous, not to have so many disorders and all this other things. But Christ is saying here that he can help keep your mind and your heart through Jesus Christ if we're willing to do these things. The story about Fanny Crosby, most of us know that as a little girl, she had a regular eye problem, and the doctor had given her too much medicine, which caused her to go blind at 6 weeks old. But it's amazing, of all the songs she wrote and all the different things, he even talked about how she saw the doctor, she would thank him because the first person she was going to get to see was Jesus Christ, and she would just thank him over and over. And you look at many of the songs where she rejoiced, and she had this because she had given everything over to God. And there's one of her songs where it talks about all the way my Savior leads me. There's a phrase in there, Jesus does all things well, or doeth all things well. And you think about where that came from. How can a person say, Pastor, you're asking me to rejoice even in hard times. You're telling me if I take it to God and leave with God, I can have peace of God in my life. I don't see how that can happen. You see many characters in the Bible. Even Paul here is an example that he's telling others to do this because he's known it to be true. The third thing I want you to see, not only is it prayerful thoughts and positive thoughts, but also they're pure thoughts below the baseline. And verse number 8 tells us the things that we're supposed to think on. Whatsoever things are true, and this idea of true means true in character. Things that we think and know that are true. We get so worried about the what-ifs of life. I don't know about you, but global warming is not something I'm worried about. the what ifs of life. The Lord is at hand. I need to be still and know that He's God. He can take care of all of that. I'm not an expert in science things, and someone can argue with me if they want, because I'm not going to argue back. But we are expert in knowing that God is in control. We need to fix and focus on those things that we know is true. It says those things that are true, whatsoever things are honest. These are the things you're supposed to be thinking about. Honest, I think of the idea of honorable things. People meditate today on things that are not true and things that are not honest. Like I said, if you spend a lot of time on the internet reading things, many of that stuff is not true. I know sometimes people joke and say, oh, it's on the internet, it's got to be true. No, it doesn't have to be true. It is not true many times. We're supposed to focus on things that are honest. And people try to run down ministries. People try to run down preachers. People try to run down other Christians. Thinking about those things, focusing on those things, are not true. And it's things that we are not supposed to be thinking about. Whatsoever things are just. They're talking about righteous there, things that are pleasing to the Lord. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. I think of lovely, things that are uplifting. I think it's good that we think on good things and lovely things. I think it's great to have a testimony about how God saved us from sin, but I don't think we have to dwell in all that old sin. We don't want people thinking about those things. You know, when people say, you know, I had a little bit of a rough life when I was before I was a Christian, we don't need to dig into all these details. Now, obviously, sometimes when there's counseling that needs to happen and you need encourage from that and you want to try to help somebody not go the same way, I understand all that. But we're supposed to be thinking on those things that are lovely. And if we're talking about all the bad things we do, sometimes people think about those things and they're focused on those things. And it's important. You know, if God has covered our sin, it's cast it behind our back. No, we don't need to keep on bringing it up, and we don't need to keep on showing young people, these are things that I used to do, and sometimes I'm sure I'm guilty of that, but I want to make sure that we think on things that are lovely. It keeps on going, things of good report. Now listen to this, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Good report's talking about the good things. And I don't get, you know, you watch news, you listen to news, it's all bad because there is a lot of bad, but there is a lot of good too. A lot of things that are happening that are good, that are positive. And I think it's important that we focus many times on what the Lord is doing. When they say, oh man, the world's in trouble. Yes, but the Lord's in control. We saw somebody added to our church. We saw somebody saved. We had this coming on. These are the things that I think when it's talking about that we need to think about. There's an acrostic that I like, and the word acrostic means that each letter of the word has a certain meaning. The word think, and one preacher put it this way, the word T for true. Is it true? Is it honest? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Think before you speak. Is it true? Is it honest? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? You know, we get to the point where we focus on all the wrong things and all the bad things that we forget about all the blessings. I mentioned in Sunday school class this morning, 98% of our lives are probably full of blessings. Maybe that's not true for all, but I got to say, the majority of my life, I have a wonderful church, a wonderful family, the Lord's provided so much goodness, good for me. But if I take that 2% that I have problems and I think about that, that's going to become my focus. Remember, if my focus is on how to be a good husband or how to be a good pastor or how to win souls, if that's what's consuming my mind, sooner or later that's going to come out in my life. And if I'm focusing on the 2% of bad, sooner or later that's what's going to come out. It's sort of like when people complain about the wind, but are never thankful for when it's nice outside. I'd say it's when people complain about the rain, but there's more than 2% rain recently, so I don't want to make that illustration. But it's when we're not thankful when it's nice outside. This is something I needed. The sermon, the message, and our thoughts, something I needed personally because I need to learn how to be positive. I need to learn to be prayerful in my thoughts. I need to learn how to be pure in my thoughts. Go ahead and take your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I couldn't imagine preaching a message about our thought life without looking at this passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verses 4 and 5, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Verse number 5, "casting down imaginations." It means that anything, it says, every high thought, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. All the different things that are trying to get us away from praising Him, being positive about him personally, praising him, rejoicing in him personally, rejoicing in him peacefully, bringing things in prayer, anything that tries to take you away from that. He says, but what are you supposed to do with those imaginations? What are you supposed to do with those wrong thoughts? What are you supposed to do with those problems and that stress and the worry? He says, casting down the imaginations and everything that high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Now this next thing, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is God's will for your life. It's not to blow the baseline when no one sees. I can think about this wrong thing. I can stress about this. I can worry about this. I can fix this. No. Bringing every thought into captivity. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. One last thing. Say, Pastor, you talked about a lot about your heart and your thoughts. Yes, I did, because it comes out of our mouth. You know what our mouths are supposed to be used for? Edification. We're supposed to be edifying one another. We're supposed to be lifting up one another. I have some people in my life that edify me with their speech, that lift me up. But there's a lot of people I see that don't lift others up with their speech. They try to pull other people down. You say, Pastor, am I supposed to just sit and be quiet when there is something wrong? No, there's a right way to say it. There's a kind, loving way to say it. There's a scripture way to say things when there's problems, because we don't ignore problems. We don't ignore sin. There is a scriptural thing that we're supposed to do. I get that. That's fine. But also, the complaining, the stressing, the worrying, those things that are in our hearts, and those things that are on our thoughts that we say, oh, it doesn't bother me, it's going to come out. There's going to be a day and time when our worlds and our spiritual lives are going to face storms that are too hard for us to keep everything looking perfect. It's going to fall down unless we build below the baseline, unless we have right thoughts, and we say, I'm going to do my best to have a right thought. This is not how I feel, but this is what the Word of God says. I'm going to learn how to rejoice in Him personally. I'm going to learn how to rejoice in Him peacefully. I'm going to learn how to let my moderation be known. It's not going to be an act. It's not going to be something that I'm just showing to somebody. It's something that's going to be real, because it's going to come from inside of me, because it's the Holy Spirit of God that makes that moderation known to all men. Then I'm going to be prayerful about my thoughts. I'm going to bring everything to the Lord. I'm going to do it with thanksgiving. I'm going to realize and praise the Lord for who He is. I'm going to bring all my requests to the Lord. And I'm going to let God give me that peace, because I've been missing that peace for a long time. I'm going to let God take care of my heart, because I believe He is at hand. I'm going to be still and let God take care of the issues and take care of the problems. And then I'm going to do my best to be thinking on pure thoughts and pure things. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.